You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title, Whatchamacallit? Whatchamacallit? Okay, I know it. I did it again. What are you thinking with a sermon title as Whatchamacallit? My friends, let me explain. I'm fed up. I'm sick and tired of people attacking us. And with that, I mean the church, on the celebrations concerning our Lord and Savior. Christmas cannot be celebrated because it falls together with the fall equinox, and it has too many signs of Druidism and other pagan celebrations. Giving a present or presents to somebody is wrong. Lights on the roof or the tree is wrong. Colored spheres in the tree is wrong. The celebration of Good Friday is wrong, because what is there to be happy concerning crucifixions? Easter is wrong because it is the celebration of Ishtar, the pagan fertility goddess. By now, so many young, or maybe we call them baby Christians, have been made so confused by all this legalism that they gave up on the church. Today I will, and hopefully you will listen or read this carefully, clarify my personal and many shared opinions on the Christian holiday of Easter. Easter, or as some call it, Resurrection Sunday, or as some might also call it, the celebration of first fruits. Let me start again then for you with another tradition. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't realize that the reply to the announcement to the words, "He is risen," is no longer unbelief. Indeed, my friends, as of the time after the first announcement made by the women who visited the empty tomb, the common answer to this announcement on Easter morning or whatever other day is, "He is risen indeed." So let us try it one more time. He is risen. Okay, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now you got it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you go with us through the blood and the cross? Amen. Did you thank the Lord for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life? Hallelujah. Did you thank the Lord Yeshua for being our Kohen Gadol, our High Priest, and the Bishop of our soul? Wow, glory to God. It was so good to see and know that the cord on the scapegoat turned white. Hallelujah. It is so good to know that we now have direct access to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Wow, praise the Lord. I am so excited, my friends, because today I'm celebrating a risen Lord, the sacrifice for forgiveness that has been brought once and for all, and a new addendum has been given to the covenant, a second covenant for all who want to believe, a second covenant which makes those believers a child of God, a saint of God, a wild olive branch grafted into the olive tree of the root of Jesse. With that, a branch attached to the never-losing root of God. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Anything more that we might ever need? I don't think so. Okay, I need to slow down a bit. Otherwise, I'll be ending up just shouting, dancing, and hollering glory and praise. I promised you some clarifications, and thus so I will do. I have asked before if all of you would be willing to fast on Wednesday, and I know most of us had a full fast, a partial fast, or a Daniel fast, dedicating the day to giving something up for God, which was in our case something we all like most, food. Prayers have been lifted up to the Lord for spiritual breakthrough, and God has received them. I am grateful for such a wonderful and understanding Father. God our Father never does anything that is without a reason. And after we read about the resurrection of our Lord, we will also see this concerning this wonderful and great day. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 to 61, Amplified Bible. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and rolled it up in a clean linen cloth used for swathing dead bodies, and laid it in his own fresh, undefiled tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And he rolled a big boulder over the door of the tomb and went away. And Mary of Magdala and the other Mary kept sitting there opposite the tomb. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66, Amplified Bible. The next day, that is, the day after the day of preparation for the Sabbath, the chief priests and the Pharisees assembled before Pilate and said, "Sir, we have just remembered how that vagabond impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore, give an order to have the tomb made secure and safeguarded until the third day, for fear that his disciples will come and steal him away and tell the people that he has risen from the dead, and the last deception and fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Take them and go. Make it as secure as you can." So they went off and made the tomb secure by sealing the boulder, a guard of soldiers being with them and remaining to watch. All was secure and sealed off, but Jesus had already told them before. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 4, Amplified Bible. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up to Jesus, and they asked him to show them a sign, spectacular miracle, from heaven, attesting his divine authority. He replied to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be stormy today, for the sky is red and has a gloomy and threatening look.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and morally unfaithful generation craves a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then he left them and went away. Friday, day 2 of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. A very busy day for the people, because it was the only day that they had to prepare for the Sabbath celebration. On this day, the women would have had time to prepare Jesus' embalming with the burial spices. It was all the way at the end of this day, just before the Sabbath. Luke chapter 23, verse 54 to 56, Amplified Bible. It was the day of preparation for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was dawning, approaching. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed closely and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they went back and made ready spices and ointments, perfumes. On the Sabbath day, they rested in accordance with the commandment. And indeed, even the grave could not hold him. Jesus conquered death. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 10, Amplified Bible. Now after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the boulder back and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his garments as white as snow. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him that they were agitated and they trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be alarmed and frightened, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, as he said he would do. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they left the tomb hastily, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And as they went, behold, Jesus met them and said, Hail, greetings. And they went up to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be alarmed and afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and there they will see me. Can you imagine how you would react when somebody would come to you with a message like that? I figure I would declare them crazy and would be angry with them, because that would be a very sick joke. Luke chapter 24, verse 9 to 12. Amplified Bible. And having returned from the tomb, they reported all these things, taken together to the 11 apostles and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who reported these things to the apostles. But these reports seemed to the men an idle tale, madness, feigned things, nonsense, and they did not believe the women. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. This is the story that we hear on Easter Sunday, and it is such a blessing to hear and to know we have a risen Savior. But what about all those attacks and all those that want to make people doubt? On the day after the Sabbath celebration, during the Festival of Weeks, after the celebration of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, on which we celebrate the Seder meal, for which this year, in our case, we fasted before the Lord, God commanded his people to bring a sheaf of the harvest. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, Amplified Bible. Tell the Israelites, when you have come into the land I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. The Hebrew word for sheaf is omer. An omer is defined as a measure of dry things containing a tenth part of an ephah. The book of Exodus tells us that an omer is a tenth of an ephah. So then, one ephah contains 10 omers of grain. Passover is the time of the barley harvest, and Pentecost is the wheat harvest. Both of these festivals are first fruits harvests before the final harvest that was to come at the end of the year during the Festival of Tabernacles, Sukkot, which is the fruit harvest. When we remember the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Amplified Bible. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest represents everyone who will put their faith and trust in the Messiah, Yeshua. Thus we know that the sheaf is the first of the first fruits. This same sheaf in the Bible is used to resemble a person. Then we understand that a sheaf spiritually represents people who accept the Messiah into their hearts. With this concept, God sacrificed and offered up his first and only born. Jesus the Christ waved before God on the day of the first fruits, the wave offering of the sheaf, those that are harvested, those that are holy unto the Lord, those that accepted the Messiah Jesus the Christ into their hearts and minds and soul. The first fruit offering unto the Lord is the church. We are the harvest, we are the laborers, and we are the wave offering before the Lord on this glorious day. It is interesting to know that the wave and heave offering were a part of the peace offering. This offering came from the animal offered as the peace offering. When Aaron was consecrated, Moses placed the animal on Aaron's hands and waved the offering before the Lord. The sages tell us that the offering was placed on the hands of the worshipper, and then the priest would place his hands under it and move it back and forth and up and down. I do not know how you interpret this, but in my opinion, this then makes the sign of the cross. Glory to God. In our days, the first fruits is celebrated by the Christians as the feast we call Easter. And as you can expect, Easter is again what so many happily will point out to you, named after the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, a pagan goddess of fertility. And even today, these symbols of fertility are used in celebrating Easter with rabbits, eggs, new costumes, etc., which symbolize spring in the beginning of the growing season. But praise the Lord, as Christians we are not celebrating or worshipping the pagan goddess of Ishtar, we are celebrating a risen Savior. Amen. Both celebrations fell at the same time and became referred to as Easter. We praise the Lord, celebrate a risen Lord, Jesus the Christ, not some dead, wooden, gold-plated statue. Instead of Easter, it could be called Resurrection Day, or why not call it the Feast of First Fruits? It, however, does not matter how you call it. What matters is that we celebrate that Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, arose from the grave. And yes, it was on the Feast of the First Fruits. Many people believe that Christians too will be resurrected as the first fruits, and then possibly on the Feast of the First Fruits. I do not, and I believe we should not weigh too heavy on this, because Jesus said that only God the Father knows the day of the rapture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 to 25, and verse 36, Amplified Bible. If anyone says to you then, "Behold, here is the Christ, the Messiah," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you beforehand. But of that exact day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, Amplified Bible. But each in his own rank and turn. Christ the Messiah is the first fruits. Then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected at his coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, Amplified Bible. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God. And those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up, along with the resurrected dead, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always, through the eternity of the eternities, we shall be with the Lord. Beloved in Christ, this entire journey through the scriptures and traditions makes it abundantly clear that Easter, or Resurrection Day, or the Feast of First Fruits, is not about pagan myths or borrowed customs. It is about the living reality of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life as the perfect sacrifice and rose again to bring us into eternal covenant with the Father. No grave could hold him, and no power of man or devil could stop his victory. This is why we celebrate, not because of colored eggs or rabbits, but because of an empty tomb and a risen Savior. When the critics and naysayers point fingers, trying to tear down the joy of the church, we must remember that our foundation is not in cultural arguments, but in the Word of God and the power of the resurrection. Legalism and doubt scatter the flock, but the truth of the gospel gathers us, strengthens us, and makes us one body in Christ. The enemy would love to distract us with debates, but our eyes must remain fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The promise of resurrection is not only history, it is prophecy fulfilled, and prophecy yet to be completed. Just as Jesus is the first fruits, so too will we, his people, be raised to eternal glory with him. This gives us hope in every trial, courage in every battle, and joy even in the face of death. We are not a people of despair. We are a people of victory, because Christ has conquered sin and death once and for all. So today, as we gather and proclaim with one voice, He is risen, let our hearts respond with unshakable conviction, He is risen indeed. May we live every day as witnesses of that resurrection power, walking in holiness, filled with the Spirit, and carrying the message of salvation to a world that desperately needs it. Let the Feast of First Fruits remind us that we are the harvest, and that God has called us to labor until the day of His coming. This, my dear friends, is the full celebration of the death of Christ, an offering to the Lord of the Church, the first fruit, a celebration of a time to come, a look forward to an excited time, a time passed through the blood and through the cross of Christ, a celebration of a look unto a life with Jesus the Christ, God the Father, and His Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.